Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. Hey, Golden Age fans, it is March 9th, 2006, and this is the 36th installment of Golden Age of Comic Books. This is Bill Jourdain, your host. We're very glad you're here this week. We're going to talk about the Bullet Man this week from Fawcett Comics, one of the great Fawcett superheroes from the Golden Age of Comics. But before we talk about Bullet Man this week, there were several items that I wanted to mention that relate to the Golden Age of comic books that I thought were very interesting and that you would certainly appreciate hearing about. First of all, I wanted to mention that I received yesterday the latest issue of Alter Ego magazine. That is issue number 57. That's the March 2006 issue. And I was delighted to see that the magazine in its entirety, well, almost in its entirety, I would say the vast majority of this magazine is devoted to reprinting the Marvel Superhero Timely Index that was published way back in 1969 by Michelle Nolan. This covers all of the Timely superhero books and some of the other Timely and Marvel books from 1939 to 1957. So if you're interested in learning a little bit about the chronology of the particular publication of the Marvel Timely books, check out this issue of Alter Ego. I think you'll find it very interesting. And what this does is it reprints this index, which contained by title and then by issue number with date the titles of each story by character that appeared in these particular comics between 1939 and 1957. And what's nice about the version of this index that appears in Alter Ego is that it's annotated with some additional information that's come to light since the original index was printed in 1969. It contains a lot of artwork from the comics in question, cover images, internal art, that kind of thing, and has some other information that I think you'll find very, very interesting. And again, if you are interested in being a historian of comics, this is a great place to start a very, very complete and very wonderful treatment of the Golden Age Marvel and Timely superhero books and some of the other books way back in the Golden Age of comic books. So if you haven't picked up a copy of Alter Ego magazine before, Roy Thomas's really fantastic fanzine, well, this would be a great place to start. Go out and get issue number 57. It's on the newsstands now, and you'll really enjoy this index of Marvel and Timely superhero comics. Alter Ego just doesn't limit itself, of course, in its issues to this kind of material. Has great interviews from time to time from the creators and others from the Golden Age and Silver Ages of comic books. So check out Alter Ego magazine. I think you'll really enjoy it. Now, another item that I wanted to mention today is something that I got in an email, actually, on a list that I'm on, the Grand Comic Book Database Project list. And I received an email on that list from Jerry Bales, one of the founding fathers of fandom, one of the great comic historians of the age. And in the email, Jerry indicated that his Who's Who, and if you recall, in one of our past episodes, I talked about Jerry Bales' Who's Who of American Comic Books, which catalogs the creators of comic books, the writers and the artists, so on and so forth, over the years. And Jerry, in this email, indicated that he has now posted his entire Who's Who online. And it's free of charge, no password is needed, you don't have to pay any money to access it. And it can be found at BailesProjects.com, B-A-I-L-S Projects.com. So if you're interested in checking out an electronic version of Jerry Bales' Who's Who, go to BailesProjects.com, and you'll find a very simple interface to use. It's there with a search box. You just type in the name of the creator that you're looking for, or whatever search term you want to use, and it will bring that right up on the screen with all of the information from Jerry's Who's Who. And I think you'll find that very, very helpful and very, very interesting. And if you're interested in looking at the history of the creators of comic books over the years, so check out BalesProjects.com and the online version of the Who's Who. Last but not least, I wanted to mention in the podcast a book that was published by DC just this past week, actually about 2 weeks ago now, and that is the All-Star Comics Archives Volume 0. Now, why did they publish a Volume 0 of the All-Star Comics Archives? Well, as many of you know, if you've listened to the podcast or if you simply have gone to your local comic shop or conventions, DC for a number of years has published the All-Star Comics Archive, starting with Volume 1 and moving through several volumes where they ran reprints of the complete Justice Society of America stories that began starting with issue number 3 of All-Star Comics. Well, DC decided to go back and reprint the stories that appeared in All-Star Comics 1 and 2. These were not JSA stories and did not involve JSA adventures, but in issues 1 and 2 of All-Star Comics, DC did have solo stories of many of their great superheroes of the time. Now, All-Star number 1 was published as a quarterly, as was number 2 and many of the other All-Star issues, starting with the summer of 1940, about the same time that Batman number 1 was on the newsstands. And in the front cover of All-Star number 1, the editors of DC talked about the reason behind putting together this new quarterly book, wanting to showcase some of their other superheroes as they had done with Batman comics and Superman comics, the only other books that were being printed quarterly at that time. So they published All-Star, and in issue number 1, you will find some great adventures of Hawkman, the Sandman, Ultraman, the Flash, the Spectre, Biff Bronson, and the Hourman. And of course, finally, a great Red, White, and Blue story by Jerry Siegel with art by William Smith. And then the second edition, that was the fall 1940 edition of All-Star Comics, had a Hawkman story, a Green Lantern story, the Spectre, the Sandman, Red, White, and Blue again with writing chores by Jerry Siegel, Johnny Thunderbolt, the Hourman, and the Flash. So if you're interested in reading some of the very early adventures of those superheroes that I've just mentioned, check out All-Star Comics Archives Volume 0 that was published just a couple of weeks ago. Now, this book is smaller than most of the other DC Archive editions, and because of that, it's got a little bit smaller cover price. Most of the Archive editions carry a retail cover price of $49.99. This book carries a retail cover price of $39.99, and of course you can find it online and at various other sources for discounts off of that price. So again, if you're interested in reading some of the very early adventures of the characters that I mentioned that appeared in All-Star Comics before the introduction of the JSA, check out the All-Star Comics Archive Volume 0, and I think you'll find it very, very interesting. All right, well, let's talk about Bullet Man, published by Fawcett Publications in 1940. Of course, Bullet Man was the brainchild of writer Bill Parker. His earliest stories were drawn by John Small, and later on, most of the stories on Bullet Man were created by the Jack Binder Shop, many artists and writers that were affiliated with that particular shop during the Golden Age of comic books. But Bullet Man was a man named Jim Barr. He was the son of a police sergeant named Pat Barr, who was murdered by criminals in the early days of Bullet Man's childhood. Like the Batman character, after the murder of his father, Jim Barr swore vengeance on criminals and devoted his life to fighting crime. But he started out as a policeman, and because he was very brilliant, he excelled in all things intellectual and worked as a ballistic expert for the law enforcement authorities, and that earned him the nickname The Bullet. Now, later on, as Jim Barr was experimenting with various chemicals, he decided that he could invent a chemical that could purge evil from criminals, and he decided after creating this chemical that he would test it upon himself, even though he apparently wasn't an evil person. But as so many of the superheroes who gained powers through chemical experiments did, he decided to test this on himself. And he took this formula, and unexpectedly, he gained 60 pounds of muscle. He gained additional intellectual capacity, and was all of a sudden a very powerful individual, both from an intellectual standpoint and a physical standpoint. He decided that with these increased physical powers and intellectual powers, that he would create a costume for himself and also a device that he decided to form into a helmet that he was going to use to allow him to fly and to smash through walls and other things. Thus, the name Bullet Man, because this particular device looked like a bullet on his head. And this was called a gravity-regulating helmet. And so Bullet Man donned his costume and his gravity-regulating helmet and began to fight crime in the pages of Nickel Comics. Now, what in the world was Nickel Comics? We've heard about Fawcett's publication, Master Comics. We've heard about Wiz Comics. But what was Nickel Comics? Well, Nickel Comics was an experiment by Fawcett to try to put on the newsstand a little bit more inexpensive book on a biweekly basis. And so you could plop down a nickel every other week and pick up a copy of Nickel Comics. That only lasted for Fawcett, unfortunately, for 8 issues. It began with issue number 1. That was the May 1940 issue and Bullet Man's origin and first appearance, and continued through issue number 8. That was the August 1940 issue. So what happened to Bullet Man after Nickel Comics folded? Well, he was moved over to Master Comics with issue number 7. That was the October 1940 issue. And of course, over at Master Comics, we ultimately had Captain Marvel Jr., one of the great Marvel, Fawcett characters, Marvel family members of the Golden Age of Comics. Now, with issue number 13 of Master Comics, Bullet Man gained a sidekick, if you will, and her name was Bullet Girl. Now, she wasn't a young sidekick like you might expect with Robin and some of the younger sidekicks that we saw at DC and Marvel. She was a woman named Susan Kent, who was Jim Barr's girlfriend and later became his wife. And he made her after she discovered his secret identity in Master Comics number 13. That was the April 1941 issue. He made her a gravity-regulating helmet and a costume, and she joined him as Bullet Girl. It's kind of surprising that no one else discovered Bullet Man's secret identity, because even though he wore a helmet on his head, he wore no mask to disguise his features. Now, as time wore on, Bullet Man became a regular and very popular character in Master Comics. And with issue number 21, and I have discussed this in our team-up podcast that I did back last summer, but in issue number 21, Bullet Man and Captain Marvel teamed up and fought against one of the great Fawcett villains who was known as Captain Nazi. Now, this was a very important story because it was the first part of the trilogy of stories that were ultimately the origin of Captain Marvel Jr. And in the story that appeared in issue number 21 of Master Comics, Bullet Man and Captain Marvel fought Captain Nazi to a standstill, and then the action shifted over to Wiz Comics number 25, where Bullet Man did not appear, but Captain Marvel did appear against Captain Nazi, and Captain Marvel Jr. actually came into being. And then in the very next issue of Master Comics, issue number 22, Captain Marvel Jr., who is fresh from the pages of Wiz Comics number 25, and in the third part of his origin trilogy, he teamed up with Bullet Man once again to fight Captain Nazi. And of course, Captain Marvel Jr. went on to appear regularly in the pages of Master Comics, and he had his own title, Captain Marvel Jr., that appeared regularly during the Golden Age of comic books. Now, in issue number 41 of Master Comics, that was the August 1943 issue, Bullet Man once again teamed up with Captain Marvel Jr. and Bullet Girl in a Minuteman story. Now, surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, in issue number 49 of Master Comics, we saw the first appearance of Bullet Boy. Yes, we have another member of the Bullet family, And Bullet Boy was just a neighborhood kid who got himself a gravity-defying helmet from Bullet Man, from Jim Barr, and he appeared as Bullet Boy in that particular story. Now, Bullet Man appeared regularly until issue number 106 of Master Comics in 1949, except for issue number 104. He did not appear in that issue. But issue number 106 was his very last Golden Age appearance. And again, that was in 1949. He also appeared in Wiz Comics number 106 during that time frame. Now, Bullet Man was not limited to Nickel Comics and Master Comics, or his one appearance in Wiz Comics. Bullet Man, in the summer of 1941, gained his own title, and that title ran through issue number 12. That was the February 1943 issue. And then there was not another issue until number 14. That was the spring 1946 issue, and that ran to number 16 in the fall of 1946. However, number 16 had number 13 on the cover to add a little confusion to the numbering of that particular series. I'll point out that even though we had already gotten Bullet Man, Bullet Girl, and Bullet Boy, with issue number 10 of Bullet Man Comics, we had Bullet Dog, another mascot to the Bullet family. Bullet Man also appeared in issues of Fawcett Miniatures and Mighty Midget Comics. We've talked about the Mighty Midget Comics run in one of our previous podcasts. And he also appeared in a couple of issues of Christmas Comics. That was Christmas spelled with an X, the abbreviation for Christmas. He appeared in Christmas Comics number 1. That was a reprint of his adventure from Bullet Man number 2. And he appeared in Christmas Comics number 2. That was a 1942 issue. He also appeared in one of the other great Fawcett anthology series. That was America's Greatest Comics. That was an 8-issue run that began in May of 1941 and ended in the summer of 1943. He had cover appearances in all of those issues, and in fact, the cover appearance of Bullet Man in number 1 of America's Greatest Comics featured all of the other great Fawcett superheroes of the time appearing together for the very first time on the cover of a comic book. Now, for a little bit of Bullet Man trivia, Bullet Man, along with Captain Marvel Jr. and Minuteman, appeared in issue number 41 of Master Comics together in a group called the Crime Crusaders Club, sort of a JSA of the Fawcett Comics world. Unfortunately, that group never really got off the ground and only appeared in that one issue, Master Comics number 41. So Fawcett tried to emulate the JSA in a very feeble effort in Master Comics 41, but it just didn't quite get off the ground with Bullet Man, Captain Marvel Jr., and Minuteman. Now, Bullet Man was gone after 1949 with Master Comics number 106 and did not appear again until many, many years later when he was brought back by DC in Justice League of America number 135. That was the October 1976 issue, and that was a 3-issue series that featured a lot of the old Fawcett characters and many other characters duking it out over that particular 3-issue series. And of course, many of the Fawcett characters, including Bullet Man and Bullet Girl, have appeared in various DC comics since that time, including the great work by Alex Ross and Mark Waid known as Kingdom Come. Now, in 2005, a new Bullet Girl appeared, and she was called Bulleteer, and will appear in the Grant Morrison Seven Soldiers of Victory stories, but she is not the same Bullet Girl, Susan Kent, later Susan Barr, who appeared in the Golden Age and later on in some of the more recent stories of Bullet Man and Bullet Girl. Now, I'm not 100% sure where the Golden Age Bullet Man stories have been reprinted or if they have even been reprinted. Maybe some of the listeners of the Golden Age of comic books can help me out there and point out some reprint sources for Bullet Man stories. But sitting here recording this evening, I'm not 100% sure where those reprint sources are. So hopefully we'll get some email about that or some post on the blog page at goldenagecomics.libsyn.com, and I'll be sure to mention Bullet Man reprint sources in the next episode of Golden Age of Comic Books, but I would appreciate any input that any of you could provide on that particular issue. The Bullet Man stories that I've read over the years have certainly been very interesting. Bullet Man, as I mentioned earlier in the show, was an important character for Fawcett. He was not as popular, probably, as Captain Marvel or Captain Marvel Jr., but he certainly ranked up there as one of the most popular Fawcett characters of the Golden Age of comic books. All right, everybody. Well, that's going to do it for the 36th installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us this week for the show. Sorry I haven't been doing the weekly show that I had promised, but once again, I've been busy with work and other endeavors in my life, and I just haven't had the time to get a podcast done. But I appreciate each and every one of you emailing me and asking about when the next installment would come out, and appreciate all the emails and other comments that discuss the topics that we've had and express your enjoyment of the show. Once again, if you don't mind, head on over to Podcast Alley and place a vote for us for the month of March. It's still early in the month of March, and I've gotten several votes, but I would appreciate getting up there around 20 or 30 votes by the end of the month of March. Go on over to PodcastAlley.com, do a search for Golden Age, and you'll find the Golden Age of Comic Books. Click on the link to vote. They'll send you an email. Click on the link in the email, and your vote will be cast. You can only place one vote a month, so if you wouldn't mind, I would greatly appreciate it. Please drop us an email at goldenagecomics@gmail.com. I've gotten many emails over the last several weeks about Golden Age comic books and topics related to Golden Age comic books. Keep those cards and letters coming, if you will, and I'll do my very best to respond to those emails as quickly as I can. I particularly like the emails that I get about trivia related to the Golden Age of comic books, asking me questions about various issues. Sometimes I don't know the answers, but it's always fun to dig into the resources that I have to try to find those answers. So if you have any trivia questions, send them to me, and I'll do my very best to get those answers to you. Maybe you can use some of those answers to stump the Rios over at the Comic Geek Speak podcast. Please don't forget to support the Grand Comic Book Database Project at comics.org and their continuing effort to catalog all of the comics published throughout the history of comic book publishing from the early days of comics up to the present time. Don't forget to support the Actor Comic Book Fund, actorcomicfund.org, a very worthwhile endeavor to support the creators of comic books. We've got the convention season coming up here in just another month or so. I'm really looking forward to hitting some of the conventions in my area here in the Southeast United States. I always go to the Hero Show in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I hope to see many of you there. That's a great show. I think one of the great comic book shows that takes place during the summer every year, and I hope many of you will be there and I get to spend a little time talking to you about Golden Age comic books. So, once again, thank you for joining us this week. Go out and see if there are some Bullet Man reprints out there that you can latch on to and let me know if there are. Enjoy reading your comics. I look forward to talking to each and every one of you next week about Golden Age comic books.